Isaiah chapter number 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. This morning, church, the Lord has laid on my heart the very end of verse number 3, and it is this thought: my people doth not consider. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now on the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for your Word. Help us, Lord, to stand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think of all that God has done for the nation of Israel up to this point as Isaiah is writing. I remember how the Red Sea was parted and the children of Israel, about 2 million of them, walked over on dry ground. I remember how he fed them for 40 years in the wilderness simply by allowing manna to fall upon the ground. He allowed water to proceed from a rock that they might be quenched of their thirst. He took care of their clothing, of the shoes on their feet. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. Think of all that God has done for Israel. They crossed over the Jordan River. They simply marched around the city 7 times, and on the 7th day, 7 times around, and the walls of the city fell, and Israel was given a very great victory. They have defeated all their enemies. They were blessed and blessed greatly. Then God says in verse 3, yet my people doth not consider. And I thought about those words, and they were a challenge to my heart. The only thing it seems like we consider today is ourselves. Husbands do not consider the love and the labor of their wives. The wives do not consider the devotion of their husbands. Children do not consider the sacrifice and the love and the prayers of their parents. Churches do not consider the burden of their pastor. Pastors do not consider the needs of their congregation. We live in a day of grace, but we live in a day where there is a great lack of consideration for others around us and for the situations that we are in. And I'm telling you, God said, my people doth not consider. He's not talking to a lost person. He's talking to the redeemed. He's talking to the saved. He said, you've forgotten what I've done for you. You've not considered. I believe in the scripture this morning then. There are 7 things that we need to take consideration of this morning. First of all, let us consider the price paid for our redemption. Amen. Jesus shed his blood for your sins. Amen. It is amazing nowadays in our churches that no longer do we consider the sacrifice of the Son of God. If you take the Son of God away from the cross and you just talk about Calvary, it is a gory place. But if you put Jesus on that cross bearing your sins, buried and risen again on the third day, it is a glory place. And we glory in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You weren't redeemed by gold. You weren't redeemed by silver. Now you can check and hear how precious those commodities are today as the price of gold goes up and the price of silver goes up and the price of oil, which is black gold nowadays, they say. It goes up and up and up, and we'll consider the price at the gas pump, but we do not consider the price that Jesus Christ paid that our sins might be forgiven. We'll discuss how bad situations are across this earth, but I'm telling you, friend, we need to stop and consider the love of God and the price Jesus paid that you and I might be saved. He paid that price for you, sir, individually. He paid that price, ma'am, for you individually. And I bless his holy name this morning. Our sins are forgiven, friend, not by baptism, not by works, not by joining in a church somewhere. Our sins are forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to consider his great sacrifice this morning. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse number 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Listen, his blood has not only saved us, but it has forgiven us for all of eternity. He said in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse number 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, his sacrifice, his price that he paid has brought my heart peace." When there was trouble, when there was turmoil, when there was problems and I had nowhere to turn, to my left and to my right, no man cared for my soul. But when I looked up and considered him, amen, he saved me and forgave me and brought my soul peace. And I bless his holy name this morning. If we don't consider anything else today, let us consider the price he paid for our redemption. Number two this morning, let us consider the pit from which we were rescued. He says in the book of Psalms, chapter 40, and in verse number 2, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit," hallelujah, "out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Hey, let us consider the pit from which we were rescued. There you were. Yes, you that have the tie on and you that are clothed so nicely. You that have the beautiful smile on your face. It was you that was on your way to a devil's hell because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was you that the devil had his hold on and his clutches surrounded. It was you that was getting ready to burn in the fire forever and ever and ever until that night that Jesus came and knocked on your heart's door and said, "I want to lift you out of this pit." And by his own hand, he reached down and lifted you, hallelujah, out of that horrible pit, out of the clutches of death, out of the clutches of the devil, out of the clutches of destruction. And he put your feet on a solid rock and established your goings and said, "Serve me and sing for my glory." God's been good to us. If you think about the pit, I'm talking about a place that you could have never got out of on your own. I'm talking about a place that you were doomed for damnation and for destruction until that blessed day that Jesus came. Hey, when I consider the pit, it makes my soul happy to know that I no longer have to worry about going to a devil's hell. I've been rescued from the pit of destruction. And I thank him this morning. Most time in our churches, we don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to talk about the fact that we deserve to be there. But for the mercy and for the grace of Jesus Christ, we'd be right in the middle of that pit forever and ever and ever. But thanks be unto God, He has redeemed us and saved our sin-sick soul. Number three this morning, we should consider the privilege that we should recognize. The privilege that we should recognize. The book of Job, which is the oldest book in the Old Testament, chapter 37 and verse 14 says, "Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Not only in the fact that He saved you, but you just look around you this morning. Look in front of you. Look beside you. To either side. Look around. Look over your head. Look how God's blessed you. He's given you precious children that you love very much. He's given you a husband. He's given you a wife. He's given you someone to pray for you, someone to be a friend to you. He's given you clothes on your back and shoes on your feet. He's given you cars to drive, a house to live in. Amen. He has blessed you and blessed you greatly. And when the enemy came around you looking, trying to defeat you, wasn't it God that you called on? Wasn't it He that blessed you and delivered you time and time again? We've all had our Red Sea experiences. We've all had our Jordan rivers to cross. But He's been with us every step of the way. We should consider this morning the privileges of serving God. He says in 1 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." Why'd He do what He did? Because He loved you. He's done those things for you, amen. And we need to stop and consider the love of God and the privilege which you now occupy. You think about the position He's given you. What do you mean, preacher? You mean my position at work? Listen, I'm talking about you being a child of the King. A child of the King of Kings, a child of God. What a privilege it is to serve Jesus. What a privilege it is just to be the child of God this morning. And I tell you, we lose our value and our consideration of how God has blessed us. You just look around and you see how good God's been to you, and you'll just have yourself a fit, amen. You'll get a case of the can't help it, and you won't consider who in the world what they think about you, amen. Just to consider how much He loves you. Fourthly this morning, I want you to consider the public that we should be reaching. He says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friend, the people of this world are watching you. Do the works that you do in your everyday life, your deeds, your actions, your words, do they glorify God? Or do they bring a reproach on His name? Do you bring shame upon the name of Jesus with the actions that you do and the words that you say? Or are you glorifying God? Especially when you're in the public eye. They're looking at you and saying, "I know that that person goes to church. Are they any different? What difference has Jesus made in your life?" I'm glad to say to you this morning, amen, I hope in the public eye that we can lift up the name of Jesus and not be ashamed of Him. I'm afraid, though, that we're bringing reproach upon His name. We'll spend more time talking about a ball game, talking about a yard sale, talking about a bass boat, than we will talking about Jesus. Number five, we need to consider the person to whom we are responsible. What do you mean, preacher? You're going to give an account one day. He says in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." It is He that saved you. It is He that has blessed you. And one day, friend, it will be Him that you will give an account to. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There will be a payday someday. You will give an account for what you've done Well, preacher, what about the sins I committed? And I run to the altar, and I confess my sins, and you told me you forgave me. Will I give an account for that? Oh, no. Forgiveness is forgiveness. God wipes the slate clean, amen. Don't that sound good? You ought to consider that, amen, when the devil tries to make you feel guilty. Say, my sins are under the blood, and they've been forgiven, been removed from me. Hallelujah to God. But friend, I'm telling you, those sins that are not confessed, those actions and those words that you've committed, that you've not confessed to God, if you were to leave here right now, you would give an account for the hatred of your heart towards that person. You would give an account for the very fact that you carry around this grudge towards that person, the jealousy that you feel in your heart about so-and-so's family. You will give an account for that one day if you don't give that to God and get forgiveness of it. Friend, you ought to consider this morning the person whom you're accounting to. Friend, you'll not get by with anything. Just because your name is Joe or John or Darren does not guarantee you'll get by with anything. He'll treat every one of us the same. He is no respecter of persons. We will all give an account to Jesus. But God said, my people doth not consider. Number six this morning, there is the promise that we should regard, found in the book of Luke, chapter number 12. Please turn there. There are many promises in this scripture, but there's one that the Lord dealt with me about, the promise that we should regard as the people of God this morning. In Luke 12 and 24, the scripture says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Some of you are worrying and fretting this morning. What are we going to do? How are we going to make ends meet? Friend, consider the ravens. They are dirty, unclean birds. Yet God cares for them so much, He'll feed them every day. Friend, God will take care of you. He's committed to. I think about the young man who joins, or the young lady who joins the military and reports to Uncle Sam. Immediately when they report to Uncle Sam, he gives them a uniform. He clothes them. It costs them nothing. Immediately they get 3 squares a day. Immediately they will get some type of a roof over their head, unless they're out in the middle of war somewhere. When you join the U.S. forces, Uncle Sam takes care of you. Hey, friend, this government of America may go broke, and Uncle Sam may no longer be able to take care of the people that have given their lives over to serving him. But I promise you this morning, the day you enlisted in the army of the Lord is the day He said, I'll feed you. It's the day He said, I'll clothe you. It's the day He said, I'll shelter you. I will take care of you. And furthermore, He says to the soldier this morning, I will fight your battles for you. I say hallelujah. In verse number 27, He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Friend, God will take care of you. Just consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. He says down here in verse number 31, He says, rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Next time you start worrying, next time you start fretting, you ought to consider the promises of God. Just consider them. Number seven, there is the pardon that we should realize. In Isaiah chapter number 55, please turn there with me this morning. In Isaiah chapter number 55, there is a wonderful truth about the pardon of God. So many people, I'm afraid, they're a lot. They've been saved, but they can't shout. They've been saved, but they can't say praise the Lord. They've been saved, but they won't come to altars anymore. Why? Because they've not realized the pardon of God. God has saved you. You're His child. You've got liberty now to serve God and serve Him only. In Isaiah 55, verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him
while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Friend, I'm telling you, if you have a need this morning, if you'll confess it to him, if you'll bring it to him, he will pardon you. Friend, I'm going to tell you, in our churches, in your individual lives, so many times you consider all these things, but you don't take time to consider one another, to provoke one another unto good works. Oh, you provoke each other all right, but not the good works. When's the last time you sat down to consider one another? How are they going to feel about this? When I do this or I say that, what will happen about what I'm saying? Do you consider it, or you just go ahead and do it anyway? Huh? Problem in our churches is we consider self and not our Savior. We consider self and not others. We need to learn this morning, there's some things to consider, and it's not putting us first, it's putting him first. Amen. You stand to your feet. Your head bowed, nobody looking. I wonder, is there somebody say, preacher, I tell you, I've come right in here today, and I didn't take a whole lot of time to consider Jesus. I didn't consider the pardon I've been granted. I've not considered the privilege of serving God. I need to consider some things this morning. I want to consider the price that he paid for me. I want to worship him. I want to consider the pit that he brought me out of. I ought to have been in the devil's hell, but look how he's blessed me. I want to consider the privilege where I'm at right now. Look how God has blessed my family. Look how good he's been to us. Oh, I want to consider that today. Folks are moving to the altar to take time to consider some things in their life. You know, without Jesus, this would have been different. It would have been so much worse. You couldn't have borne it. It would have been awful. But you ought to take time to consider Jesus today. Consider how good he's been to you. Consider how much he's blessed you. Hallelujah to God. Our Father and our God, this morning, as we bow in your presence, for we know you're here, Lord, you speak to me. You spoke to me saying, my people doth not consider. God, I pray this morning that we would take time to consider Jesus. Consider the salvation that you've given us. Consider the sacrifice and the price that you paid for us to have salvation. It was a free gift of God to me, but it cost you everything. And I love you today. And I praise you for the sacrifice that you made, for the price that you paid. You gave all that you had. And Lord, I thank you for the pit you rescued me from, and for the privileges you've given to me. And God, where I fail, Lord, and I fail miserably, I especially fail in giving you glory and exalting your name. There's a public that should be reached. There's people, Father, that need to be saved. But my works, Father, my comments and my actions, Lord, I've not considered how it is affecting someone else. And I pray, God, you'd forgive me for failing to give you glory and honor in every aspect of my life. I'm a miserable failure, and I repent to God for it. But Lord, I pray, God, calling upon you, claiming your scripture, knowing that you'll forgive our sin, and God, you restore us in fellowship. You restore us in power. God, help us, Lord, I pray, to reach the lost for Jesus' sake, but before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl can experience the pardon of being saved, the pardon, the release from sin, the release and the liberty and the peace and the forgiveness that only Jesus can give. Help us today, God. We praise you for the pardon of God and for the privilege of serving Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask. Amen and amen.